worship you. I worship you.
This is KAYT-FM. 88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. K223BI. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. K255BT. 100.1 Lake Charles. K261EB. And KQJO-FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Now I wanna deal, because here's what I got up in here. I have single women, I have married women, I have happy women, I have faking like they happy women, I have unhappy women, I have hurt women, I have nasty women that don't want to be nasty no more. I have women that have gotten around. I have women that have been with one man their whole life. I have women that have been on drugs. I have women that have dealt with more than one man, got children by more than one. I got women that are at home with a man that's in the house with them but don't really know him. I got women who are unchurched, women who are in church but act like they out of church. I got women who are out of church and want to be in church. I got all kind of women. Lord, how am I going to preach to this plethora of women at the same time? I mean, after all, there's some women who got 2.5 children by one man. They're happy. They just want to be encouraged. I have other women that have 4.6 children by 3.4 men. And they are confused and tripping. I have other women that are hurting to their core because they're in the house with a brother who don't even know that they are there. I have women that the only reason they ain't divorced is because the Bible won't let them. I have women that are single and sleeping around but don't want to sleep around, but their flesh still takes a hold of them. I have women that are wrestling with being lesbian and are here sitting next to your partner, and both of y'all about to leave here delivered at the same time. I'm telling you, I got all kind of women. But whatever kind of woman you are, I love you. And God loves you too. And I'm not your judge. I'm here to set you free in Jesus' name. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. 29 Genesis. Verse 16. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older daughter was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Another version says she had a beautiful face and a beautiful figure. Verse 18 says, now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. I don't care how long it take, touch three women and ask them this question. Woman, how much are you worth? Ask another sister. Woman, how much are you worth? Be seated. And God. Come here, women of God. I only have a few scattered moments with you, but I'm trying to help you understand your value. How much are you worth? Are you worth waiting on 7 years? Do you completely understand your value, or have you allowed someone's opinion, somebody you go to bed with, to devalue you? Have you allowed the mistakes of your past to devalue you? Have you allowed others' opinion to devalue you? Have you allowed low self-esteem issues to devalue you? Have you allowed weight gain or the wrong man or the wrong career or the amount of children or the lack of income or the bad credit? Have you allowed that to devalue you? I pray it is my goal that by the end of this most feeble dissertation that you will again realize your value, that you are worth something, that you are precious, that you are expensive. In the text, and I think I preached this at the Word Church several times, but God has given me a different perspective that will minister to women, because in the text we see two women. We see Rachel and Leah, but really one of the most important characters in the narrative is Jacob. Now, we're teaching a series right now on the life of Abraham, and all of the Word members know that we're going to make our way through Abraham's life. But one of the things you need to know is that Abraham will eventually have Isaac. That's why tomorrow morning I'm preaching that Ishmael ain't Isaac. Because Ishmael is what you did. Isaac is what God said. You can dress up Ishmael, he ain't Isaac. You can buy him some clothes, he ain't Isaac. Isaac is Isaac and Ishmael is Ishmael. That's tomorrow. See you in the morning. Visitors, go back to your church. Amen. Now, don't want no problems with no pastors. I'm glad you're here this morning. Amen. But I want you to understand that Abraham will have Isaac, and then guess what? Isaac will have Jacob. Yeah, Jacob is important because Jacob, we know, is the trickster. He is the twin. He is the heel grabber. He's been a trip since he was in his mama's stomach. You know, when him and Esau was inside of their mama, Esau about to come out, and Isaac grabs him and pulls him in, and Jacob comes out before him. You know, it's funny. Some people have been a trip since they were born. Jacob, he's a trip. He's able to sneak the birthright from his brother. He's able to sneak the father's blessing from his brother. You know, it's something, because most women don't understand that the primary role of a man, more than just going to bed with you and paying your bills and procreating with you, is to be the blesser in the house. You know, it's funny, because women be looking for cute brothers but not blessed brothers. You see, cute plays out, but the blessing will last. I wish I had somebody to know. You can go to bed with anybody, but just can't anybody bless you. And so the blessing is important, you see. Most women today, they have their own degree. Brothers, watch me by TV. You might as well get over it. This is no longer Happy Day, Sunday morning, Tuesday. This is no longer Ain't B. This is no longer what it used to be. Sisters got more degree than you, so they don't need you for your money. They need you for your ministry. Touch a brother, touch a sister, I can make my own money. I need some ministry. Pray for me. Intercede for me. Well, Jacob understood the importance of the blessing, and so he tricks his brother out of the birthright and the blessing. You know, it's a trip, because now Jacob is on the run from his brother. He has a bad past. Folk are looking for him. Life has been a trip. He's picked by God, but yet he got major issues. You know, women, come here, because I want you to understand, and particularly you single women, that the average brother you encounter got issues. You know, I know you're going to ask him, what's his sign? I know you're going to ask him, how much does he make? Where does he work? What is his degree level? But if you had any sense, you'll say, what's your issues? Because we might as well talk about your issues before we even start hooking up, because there's some stuff behind that 6'1" pretty black face of yours that I don't know about. So why don't you just tell me your issues before we get started? Women have this unique ability to get purposeful amnesia. Yeah, we just let ourselves forget that he crazy. We make ourselves forget he got 9 kids in 9 states. We make ourselves forget that his last 6 relationships were nothing. We just believe that we can fix him because you don't understand him. Church and sister say he was crazy when you met him. He crazy now. He gonna be crazy when Jesus come back. Come here. I gotta get up out of here. I feel a hairdresser spirit on me. Now, Jacob, hear me, is on the run. But Jacob understands, come here, the need for companionship. He understands the need for companionship. He understands that there is destiny in him. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, the lineage of Jesus. And he understands there's purpose in him. Watch this. And purpose cannot be attained without the helpmate. Come here, woman. I want you to understand your role. Your role is to help me meet my purpose. You see, there's some stuff in me. I know people watch me all over the world. Praise God. Been on every network there is. God has blessed me. On TV, on billboards, God has blessed me. And people look and say, "Boy, look at R.A. Vernon. He is doing his thing. Look at that young man." But they don't know that I'm only here because of my helper. God bless you. Because the R.A. Vernon you see is not the one she sees. She see me when I'm down. She see me when I need to be spoken into. She see me when I need to be encouraged, when I need my head rubbed, when I'm depressed, when I'm down, when I'm distressed. And it's good to have a sister that will help lift you up and speak into your life and not cuss you out and tell you what her mama said. And I'm like, "No, I don't need that. I got too much to do." What if Lady Vernon was a trip? What if with 4,000 or 5,000 women packed in here at 6 a.m, you had a nasty first lady? What if she didn't speak into my life? And so here I am desperate because she holding back on emotional stuff, holding back on love making when I need it. I got too many women to be playing games. No, I need my wife to hook a brother up all the time. No, don't play with me. I got too many fine sisters in the world. When I go up in there, I want to be like, "I'm straight. Get out my face. Talk to the hand." Yeah, she did that too. Yeah, she did that too. Yeah, she did that too. Woo! Hallelujah. We on TV, y'all. Come on. I got to go. Said the Bible says. Come here. Now Laban had to do. I'm not going to back up and deal with the entire text. I need you to study Genesis 28, 29 when you get home. I got to run right to this because there's some things I need to lift. There's some things I need you to take home with you. Here's the gist of it all. A Laban, Uncle Laban, who happens to be uncle to Jacob, has 2 daughters. The name of the older one was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel, according to verse 16. Verse 17 says, "And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face." Rachel was cute with a bad body. Leah, when it says weak, another version interprets that she had pretty eyes. But Leah has sort of those sad pretty eyes. You ever seen a young lady and you look at her, her eyes are pretty, but you see the pain, you know. She's not the kind of cute that Rachel. Rachel was bam, boom, bam. Yeah, Rachel bad. Bible. When Bible call you bad, baby. I'm telling you now. When God said you got a bad body, you got a bad body. I'm telling you. God said she had a bad body. She got a bad body. She got a bad face. Now, Leah is sort of that other kind of simple cute. She has weak, tender eyes. She's cute, but there's sadness in her eyes. There's sort of low self-esteem. You could tell she's always kind of been in the shadow of fine Sister Rachel, you know. When they would walk down the street, the guys would say, whoa, look at Rachel, and Leah would be behind her, but not that many guys talk to Leah as opposed to Rachel. So, you know, Leah's cute, but Rachel's fine. So she's kind of in the shadow. She's kind of in the shadow. On top of that, Leah's the older sister. So my younger sister getting the most attention, but I'm the oldest. And my father kind of always favored her because she's been so cute. Like, Rachel's so cute. Hey, Leah, good to see you too. And, you know, when I look around this room, there's some people sort of in the middle. But for the most part, you got Rachel's and Leah's. Let's just be straight. You got Rachel's and Leah's. You got the type of sisters here that's always been cute, always had a bad body, sort of always been able to manipulate whatever you needed with that body, and always been fine. And you can walk down the street. If your rent got low, you can find somebody to pay it, because you're bad, girl. You're bad. And you know what you're doing, and you shake it when you need to, and you know what it is, and sort of always settle for whoever wanted you, because you never felt that you were the Rachel type. And then you had the Rachel types that were fine and got whatever they wanted, but were barren. Because you see, Rachel's fine, but she can't have babies. It's something when you fine, but ain't producing nothing. It's something when you fine, but really you ain't accounting to nothing. If it wasn't for that body of yours, what would you have? Because you don't lean on your intellect or your spirit or your anointing or your degree level. But long as you got that, and you make sure you even wear some tight stuff to church, let pastors see that sometime. Let the men at the church see that, because no matter how much pastor says, wear something loose. No, pastor, I'm Rachel. And everybody got to see this, because I don't trust God. I trust this. And this will get me what God won't get me. These jeans will get me what the Holy Ghost won't get me. These jeans will get me what no other power can do. And then there's Leah. There's Leah. She's sort of sad. She's in a situation that's not the best situation. Most of the time when you encounter your Leahs in your church, you know them. They're sweet, beautiful women. But there's that pain in their eye. There's that thing that's missing. There's that rejection look. Some of them are married. Some of them are single. But they're still Leah. You, as a pastor, you learn your Leahs. You learn your Rachels. You just sort of know those who are uppity and happy and God's working. Then there's the Leahs who there's sort of a pain there. And you sort of extend yourself more to the Leahs and say, hug pastor, baby. If nobody else loves you, pastor loves you, first lady loves you, Jesus loves you. Because the Leahs need to be spoken into, because they don't get spoken into at home. They weren't spoken into by their father. They're not being spoken to by their husband. They're single and lonely. Things are a trip. And they just sort of have a sad Leah look. Well, Jacob is in a position where he wants to marry Rachel. He's seen Rachel at a well. It's something. Rachel's working, and while she's working, she gets her man. It's funny, she's not looking for a man, she's looking for some water. She's up there at the well, and while she's at the well, Jacob sees her and says, I like her. You know, the best way to get a brother is doing ministry. No, you don't have to go to the club. You don't have to go nowhere and play the dating game. Anybody know that God is such a bad God? If you handle your business, he'll handle yours. And by the way, I need some old-fashioned sisters that ain't gonna be chasing no brother no way. You better chase me. Hunt somebody and say, how much are you worth? Go ahead. Jacob sees fine Rachel. He says, now, I want Rachel to be mine. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 18, let's read the Bible. Genesis 29, verse 18 says, now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. I will serve you 7 years. Now, why would he serve 7 years? Because typical marriage customs would have included a payment or some sort of dowry to the bride's family. You see, you were to pay the bride's family if you wanted the bride. There was some sort of trust set up. In case you fell over and died, the family would use the trust to provide for the widowed wife that you died and left. In other words, you never hooked up with a sister unless her daddy gave you permission, and then you had to come to the table with some dough. If you didn't have no money, you got no honey. You didn't just say, she's cute, what's your number, what's your sign, let's hook up, I'll call you tomorrow. No, you had to meet her daddy. You know, it's funny to me because we're no longer old-fashioned, man. We are modernized. We are 2006. Meet a brother, marry a brother. Meet a brother today. We at the Elvis Presley Temple next week, hooking up in Las Vegas, because you fine. I don't want to fornicate. At least you a man. You tall. You go to church. So let's get married. Ain't introduced him to your daddy. But pastor, my daddy dead, not your spiritual daddy. I ain't have a father. You got one now. You see, I'm not trying to run your life. If I wanted the easy way out, I wouldn't care. But I love you enough to say, bring a brother up here. Let me discern him. Let me smell him. Let me look at a mean one time and let him know, you mess with my daughter, me and all my elders gonna jump you after church. Don't you run up in here messing around on our babies up in here. As soon as a brother flirt with you, you're like, come on, pastor. What you think about him? What did God tell you? Is he crazy? Does he have a wife in another city? Is he crazy? Is this a schizophrenia? Please tell me what the Holy Ghost told you. The family got paid. The family got paid if a brother got you. Why? Because families made their money on the value of their daughters. Oh yeah, if you had a bunch of fine daughters, you'd be rich, because every brother had to pay you to get them, because women were viewed as valuable. Now, how did we go from 7 years to 7 days? 7 years, figuratively, not literally, but figuratively, 7 years is that time that you court me. 7 years is that time that you spoil me. Not literal 7 years, but a figurative 7 years. 7 years is that period that you show me how valuable I am. How is it that it's so easy to get y'all now? Is there that much of a shortage of men? Are you that hard up? Do you want a baby daddy that bad? Do you want somebody to help you pay rent that bad? Do you want a warm body that bad that all he gotta do is be male? Challenge a brother. Challenge. I'm coming, married women, but wait, married women. I'm on my way, but I'm dealing with my singles for a minute. I'm on my way, man. We got to get married, sisters. Hold on. But right now, just let me talk. Please. Challenge me. I don't understand. See, you must understand that your job is to make a brother see your worth. There is something about a sister who tells you no that keeps you up all night. There's something about a sister that tells you no that will make you get a second job. There's something about a sister that tells you no. Do you know why we ain't nothing? Because you don't demand that we be nothing. But if every sister would come together and say, from now on, you got to have 2 jobs, 2 rings, 2 good credit reports, 2 how-all. Watch this. I'm almost finished. Genesis 2:18. Don't turn because I'm rolling. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. I asked you this a few years ago, I'm asking you again. In your present condition, who can you help? Other than good sex, what can you do for me? No, I'm not your average brother. No, I don't have any kids. No, I have good credit. I have a beautiful house. I have several cars. I have a great relationship with God. If I were single, and I'm not, don't hit me. How could you help me? No, I'm not the average press brother to just need a woman so bad. I've finished some things in my life. I've completed some stuff. I've kept myself. I've worked hard to attain what I got. So if you were to encounter a brother like me, how could you help me? Oh, you fine. Yeah, all the fine girls like me. You got a bad body? Yeah, she do too. And she do too. So why should I want you? If your worth was based on your consecration, your credit, and your cooking, your consecration, your credit, and your cooking, could you help me? You see, you were designed to be a helper. You ought to be getting yourself in position to become the helper that God has called you to be. Let me tell you how bad you are, sister. You're so bad you can birth a brother. You're so bad that the way you carry yourself will make me get myself together. I told you this once before, but why should I buy a house when I can live with you? Why should I marry you when I go to bed with you every day anyway? Why should I buy a car when you're gonna pick me up? Why should I get a job when you pay all my bills? All I gotta do is be good in the bed. That's all I really have to do is be good in the bed, and I got you. Why? Because you don't understand that your job is to help me, but I'm about to mess you up. How do you help a brother? I'm about to mess you up, single. See, you help me when you reject me. That's how bad you are. You see, all my life, my mama spoiled me. All my life, I had no responsibility. And because I'm half cute, women always told me I was God's gift to the world. But now I done met a sister who don't think that the sun rises and sits on my behind. And she told me, unless you get yourself together, holla at your girl. I wished I had seven women up in here that would touch another sister and say, I ain't pressed, baby. Until you get it together, don't call me, don't come over, and you ain't never gonna touch this because I got it on lockdown. Tell somebody, can't touch this. God got the key and going back to heaven. Look at the sister and say, bam, that's it. For you. You meet God's Adam for you. You meet God's Boaz for you. Watch this. When you meet Adam and Boaz, I'm coming, Mary sisters, give me a few minutes. When you meet Adam and Boaz, how do you help them? You help them by hurting them. Because men think that when we can't go to bed, it's going to hurt so bad. But slap a sister, say, I'm just going to have to hurt him, I guess. I'm going to have to hurt him. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Yeah. Just buy me another skirt. That's all. You'll be all right. Amen. Shh. Are you helping, brothers? Are hurting them. Shh. Because you're such a wonderful woman. Look at me. You are a wonderful woman. You are a giver. You are a lover. See, I'm about to mess you up. The next time the devil tells you there's something wrong with you, let me tell you What's wrong with you? You're such a giver, and God made you, not the devil. God made you sexual. God made you a helpmeet. So you're designed. It's innate from birth that your desire as a woman is to share yourself with a kingdom man and to give him love and sex and honor, and you want to love him and touch him and be there for him. The problem is when you give that to your un-Adam. You're not perverted because you lay in your bed some nights and you saved and got the Holy Ghost, but you be laying there saying, I want a man to hold me. That's not demonic, that's human. No, you're not demonic. It's demonic when you act on what you feel, but to feel it is human. And so don't you even ask God, look at me, don't you ask God, Lord, take away my sex desire. Don't you ask him that, because you're going to need that again. Oh God, I'm preaching to somebody. Don't you ask him to take away your lovemaking. You're going to need that again. Don't you ask him to take away your sensuality. You're going to need that again. Don't you ask him to take away your softness and your lovingness. That's a lesbian spirit. No, you say, Lord, keep me feminine. Keep me loving. But until you send my good thing, man, help a sister to hold out. Slap a sister and say, don't take that from me. I'm going to need that again. Go ahead, tell her. Tell a sister, don't take that, Lord. I'm going to need that in just a few years. I'm going to need all that again. But when you go to bed with me, shh, you hurt me because I'm nasty. I'm turned on by women. When you walk by me, I'm sexual. I'm a man. My sex drive's a little different than yours. I don't even have to be in love to be sexual. I don't even have to know your name to go to bed with you. I'm attracted to hips. Uh-huh. That's all I know. I don't have to know your name. I don't have to know your sign. I don't have to know what church you go to. All I know, you got that and this. And so when you walk by me because of my sexual nature that God gave me, you turn me on. So I was hoping, since you go to the Word Church, that the next time I'm in the mood, you would help me. And the way you can help me is by telling me no. But you hurt me and then ask me to come to church with you. You fulfill my needs, and I'm supposed to be unsaved. You want me saved, but every time I need it, you give it to me. And even though I ask for it, in my heart, I'll be hoping you tell me no. Because I want somebody quality. I want somebody different. But you just like the other girls. But you say you go to church. But when I'm really in the mood, I want you to tell me no. If you love me, help me. Help me. Send me home. Take your gun out. Call the police. Put me out. Whatever you got to do. Help me, sister. Don't give it to me. I'm nasty. I know I'm begging you for it, but I want you to tell me no. Every time I put my hand on it, slap my hand. Every time I come close to you, scoot over again. When it gets to be 8 o'clock, put me out. Put me out. Jacob. Jacob. Please sit down. I'm nearly finished. Jacob. You want her? Give me some money. I don't have no money. I don't have no money. I'm on the run from my brother. I ain't got no money. How much it costs? Okay. 30, 40 shekels, huh? Okay, I ain't got it. I'll tell you what I do. I'll work it off. Oh, read the Bible. See, this is deep. You think that 7 years was mandatory. No, money was mandatory. But since he didn't have money, he said, I'll work. You see, had he had the money, he could have got her today. But he says, I ain't got no money, but she's so valuable. I love Rachel so much. I want her to be my wife so much. I'll never touch her until I marry her, because I believe that's who God wants me to be with. Laban, I'll work 7 years. I'll work seven. Wait a minute. Seven. Wait a minute. I'll complete something. Oh, my goodness. I want her so bad. Seven, the number of completion. Watch this. I'll complete something. So when you ask me for my number, I need you to tell me three things you've completed. I need to know that you're a finisher and not a starter. because I'm going to be married to you with longevity, not just for a moment. So you're going to be over my kids, right? You're the one that's going to have to help me pay rent. You're the one that's going to speak into my daughter. You're the one that's going to raise my son. Are you a finisher or a starter? Are you one of those guys that have a lot of uncompleted tasks left in your life, or do you finish something? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to date a year because I need to see you finish three things. Finish something, prove something, complete something, show me something more than your fine black self. I'm nearly finished. Psalms 139:14 says, I will give thanks to you, listen women, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to tell you a version that's going to mess you up. The ghetto version says, the NLT, the New Living Translation, I loved it. Killed me when I read it. Here's what it says. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. I'm a mystery sister. No. You don't get to the bottom of me in 2 weeks. No. I'm going to be throwing you off for the next year. You ain't got me figured out. Just when you think you got me, I'm going to move to this side on your behind. You ain't got nothing coming. Just when you think you didn't figure it out, I'll bust another move. You going to call me one day? I don't want to go today. We going to have a day plan. You going to call me. You know what? I think I'm just going to read my Bible tonight. But I thought I was picking you up. No, not tonight. I'm too complex for you, brother. You can't feel. Oh, somebody ought to help me preach this. No, you ain't got me figured out. It ain't going to be that easy. I'm a complex person. Thank you for making me complex. I'm not that easy to figure out. In charge of the single daughters of the word to get a little more complex. Hard to get. Dignified. Arrogant sometimes. I mean, I want you to walk right up to the door, and when you get to the door, just stand there. And his ghetto behind, one. Oh, I'm sorry. Tell her, sis, don't you ever pay for another meal in your life. Tell her right now, tell her. Tell her, if you can't afford to take me out, see me when you get another job. And I don't go to McDonald's rallies or Burger King or Golden Corral with your ghetto behind. Slap a sister and say, you a buffet sister. That's all it is. You old buffet sister, you better get yourself together. Come on, we going to Golden Corral. We going to Golden Corral. He let me get all I wanted. Gotta get out of here. So, shh. Y'all tripping. Let me go on this side. Watch this. 7 years. Jacob works 7 years for Rachel. On the wedding day, honeymoon night, consummation night, it was in order that the bride wear a veil. On top of that, there was plenty liquor in Bible day. So Jacob is half lit. I'm burning. His wife has on a veil. Between the liquor and the veil, he don't even know that this ain't Rachel. This is sad-eyed Leah. He goes to bed and don't know who he in the bed with. It's messed up when I go to bed with you every night and you don't know me. Don't you know me? If we're married, shouldn't you know me? Shouldn't you know some of the characteristics or idiosyncrasies of me? Don't you know my touch from another touch? But we go to bed every night, we're married, and you don't know me. You know, it's amazing how many women are in this room today that feel like they're married to a brother that at the core don't know you. He doesn't know your inner secrets. He doesn't know, and he has not put himself in a position to be vulnerable enough for you to share your vulnerability. So you find yourself keeping it inside, coming to church and crying, hugging the pastor and crying, hugging the first lady. But boy, would you just like one day for him to say, who are you really? Who are you? I know we've been married 5 or 6 years, but 10 years, but is there something about you I don't know? Is there a deep down desire that I haven't met? Is there something that I need to say that I don't say? You'd be surprised how many women are in church and they're with people and married to people who do not speak into their life. And so Jacob wakes up the next day after the alcohol has worn off and lays and looks and says, you ain't the person I really want to marry. How come nobody preaches about Leah? Because first of all, my daddy gave me away to a man that don't want me. So I went from uncovered to uncovered. You know how many women here got issues with daddy? And then on top of that, then fool around and marry daddy. So all my life, I've been going from pain to pain. Everything I know about men hurt because my daddy left me uncovered by leaving my mama or being absent in the house, never speaking into me. And so because I didn't know what to look for, then I hooked up with Jacob because he didn't cover me enough to teach me that Jacob wasn't good enough for me, that Jacob didn't want me. But because I didn't know what to look for, I didn't mess around and marry Jacob. It's something when you leave Laban and hook up with Jacob. Laban left her uncovered. And so Leah, all she knows is that I'm sad-eyed. My daddy didn't care enough about me to cover me. And now Jacob don't want me. So there are women who come in church and they be smiling, but they be hurting. There are married women who come up to me every week and I can see the sadness of their Leah eyes. What do you do when Jacob don't want you? Oh my goodness, I'm preaching to somebody. I'm ministering to somebody, because everybody that fakes like they're happy ain't that happy. The average woman is not getting spoken to the way she needs to be spoken to. The average man who's on kingdom has regrets about Leah and thinks he should have got Rachel. And so he views you as Leah and he reminds you that he could have had Rachel. Or you watch him lay there or you feel his touch and you can feel that really he wants to be touching Rachel instead of you. There's something in the spirit. A woman can discern. A woman knows when she's loved and when she's not loved. A woman knows when that touch is sincere and when he's just trying to fulfill his sexual needs. A woman knows when she's loved to the core and when she's being tolerated because he's stuck. I come to minister to some woman and tell you that God's getting ready to set you free up in here. God's getting ready to do something in your life because the man of God has a word that's going to free you up in here. And so what does she do? I'm nearly finished. She says, I want you to love me. I know my sister's cuter. I know. I don't have the body like she got, but I'm with you. I'm stuck with you. I'm in covenant with you. I want you to love me. I want you to be for me what Laban, my daddy, wasn't. I've been in second all my life. I don't want to be second no more. I've been hurt as a child. I've been hurt as a young woman. Please, would you love me? I know I ain't pretty as she is. I know I ain't got everything you wanted, but since I'm with you, would you please love me, please? I don't want no money from you. I don't want no bigger house. I don't need no cars. Would you please just love me? Would would you just love me? Would you just look at me the way you look at Rachel? Would you just look at me, please? I need somebody to love me. Would you please love me? Love me. Please love me. Love me. Love me. Would you love me, please? Laban. Laban. What I gotta do to get Rachel? Go on, go on. What, I want Rachel. I want Rachel. Please love me. Please love me. That's my little sister. I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest. And she can't get married according to custom until I get married first. I'm the oldest sister. You cannot marry off the younger sister before the older sister. And so that's why Laban tricked Jacob, and he thought he was getting Rachel, but Laban knew the custom. And so he says to him, I had to give you Leah because custom says you got to take the older daughter before the other daughter. And here's what Jacob says. How long do I have to work to get the woman I really want? You see, when a brother really wants you, he'll go out his way to get you. You gotta make him want you. You gotta make him earn you. You gotta know that if it takes him 14 years, every woman ought to want to be loved like that. Don't settle till you get it. Now people kind of mix up the text and they say he worked another 7 years and then he got Rachel. That's not biblical. He agreed to work another seven. He says, if I work another seven, can I have Rachel also? So after the agreement was made, he eventually has Rachel, but he has to work another 7 years to honor the contract. But he has Rachel already. He didn't work another 7 years and then get Rachel. He worked another 7 years because he had Rachel. You see, when I really want you, you'll make me work to get you. Then I'll keep working because I got you, baby. Is there any woman that's going to help me up in here? Stand up and slap her sister and say, I am Rachel. Go ahead. Slap somebody and say, he gonna work for me if he want this. I'm hard to get, baby. I'm valuable. I know I'm somebody. You gonna work to get me, and you better keep working after you got me. Don't you get used to me, because I'm a complex sister. Am I ministering to any woman in this place? I'm finished. Thank you. Watch this. So now Rachel and Leah are both in the house. He loves Rachel. He tolerates Leah. He goes to bed with Leah sometime for variety, but his heart is not there. But there's something Leah can do. Ooh, I'm going to minister to my Leahs that Rachel came. Rachel got boom. Rachel got bam. Rachel got face. But Leah can produce. Ooh, y'all better get ready. Y'all better get ready. Because you may not love me, but I'm going to produce something. See, okay. She takes advantage of the fact that she can have babies and Rachel can't. In Bible, a woman that could not have babies was looked down on in society. A woman that could not have babies. It wasn't about where you were. No women got degrees. All women were known by the amount of children and how they took care of their home. It wasn't about degrees. It wasn't about working in the workplace. That's new stuff. No, it was about taking care of your family, taking care of your husband. That's how you were known in society. Who you were married to, who you had babies by, how you raised those children, how you kept your home according to the Titus woman of the New Testament chronology. So please understand, all of a sudden, Rachel got everything, but she's empty. You'd be surprised how many fine women in here are empty. You'd be surprised the women with the best bodies sometimes feel the most ugly. You'd be surprised how the finest women in the world settle for the dumbest brothers in Cleveland. You'd be surprised how the women you think are happy ain't really that happy, because there's something they want to produce that goes far. further than sex. I know what I'm gonna do. Okay, would you love me? Would you love me? Would you love me? Oh, I know. Oh, good, good. There's something my sister can't do. My sister can't have babies. My sister can't have babies. I can. Okay. I'm gonna have all the babies, because the more babies I have, maybe he'll love me. Because like every man want a baby, every man want a son. I don't care what he say. If I give him a son, he gonna love me more than Rachel. I wonder what you've been trying to do to make somebody love me. I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have a son. She got pregnant on purpose. She got pregnant. I got pregnant. She ran there. She said, Jacob, I'm pregnant. And the baby's name was Reuben. Reuben means to see me. Maybe if I give you a baby, you will see me. I gave you a son. Don't you see me now? Do you see me? My sister can't have no babies. Look, I gave you a son. Do you see me now? Give me a kiss, Rachel. Give me another kiss, Rachel. I love you, Rachel. But I got your son. I got a son by you. I'm the one who had babies and stretch marks and laid all up here trying to make you happy. Do you see me now? I love you, Rachel. You're my baby. You know that. Go on. Okay, I know what it is. He want more than one baby. He want more. I'm gonna have another baby. That's okay. I'm gonna have a baby. I'm pregnant again. Look. I'm gonna name this baby Simeon. Simeon means to hear me. Do you hear me? I'm hurt. Do you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear that I need some love from you? Can you hear? No, you're listening, but you don't hear me. When we be talking, you don't hear me. I got things I need you to understand, and you're so busy, you're not paying me no attention. And some things I'm trying to tell you, stuff be going through my mind. The devil be putting thoughts in my mind about busting creep moves and all that stuff. I don't want to do nothing stupid like that. I want you to hear me. I'm a woman. You don't know that side of me. You take me for granted. You don't know the enemy be playing in my mind, and I ain't strong as I want to be, and I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm trying not to do nothing stupid. Would you please hear me? I'm crying out to you. Do you hear me? I love you, Rachel. Go on now. I love the kids, but I ain't really studying you. I know what it is. He want another child. He want another child. Just get me pregnant again. I'll just sleep with you. Just get me pregnant again. Just get me pregnant again. So she has another baby. She has Levi. And Levi means to become attached. So if I have this baby, he'll finally attach himself to me. I'll have an attachment with him that him and Rachel don't got. So now she got Reuben, she got Simeon, she got Levi, and she's just as unloved. You know, I could have made you run right here, but I want to minister to you, because I have thousands of women who get in this line every Sunday and hug me and talk about that man of God that you picked. He's not a man of God yet, but I'm calling him that before he becomes that. By your prayers, God will sanctify him. Watch me. You get in my line, and some of you get in my line with tears in your face. I had it happen Wednesday night. Please, Pastor. Please let me go from this man. Please release me, Pastor. I would have been divorced, but I honor the word. I honor you. I honor God. Please tell me I can go. I didn't try to make him hear me, see me, get attached to me. Please. I guess I got a question. What you gonna do if Jacob don't change? Oh God, I'm about to preach to somebody. What you gonna do? What if there is the possibility that Jacob don't change? What if I told you, you might have had Simeon, Reuben, Levi, but he ain't gonna hear you, see you, or attach to you for the next 15 years the way you want, but that's your assignment, and your assignment is not to be happy, but to be holy. I'm preaching to somebody. Don't nobody want me to preach this. I know this don't make people give big offerings, but I come to preach the kingdom up in here. Some stuff in life you got to deal with because that's your choice, but that don't mean you can't be happy because, Pastor, are you going to leave me there? Because the Bible says she finally woke up. And the Bible says she had another baby. And this baby's name was Judah. And Judah means praise. She says, you know what? Since you ain't gonna hear me, since you ain't gonna see me, since you ain't gonna attach to me, I'm about to praise God anyhow. And the Bible says, and she stopped having children. God help me preach here. Is there anybody that just made up your mind that you don't care what happened, you gonna praise God up in here? Is there anybody gonna give him praise until you lose your mind? Slap somebody and say, praise him in here. I just need about 17 women up in here that will walk over to six other women and say, baby, if Jacob don't change, get your praise on. Praise all around him. Praise on top of him. Praise when you under him. Just praise God anyway. No. Something's about to happen in this place. I need about 50 women to walk over to another woman and say, girl, praise God. Praise him while you're single. Praise him if you're Leah. Praise him if you're Rachel. Don't let no man dictate your praise. Slap somebody and say, don't have no more children. Just praise him. I feel something happening up in here. Is there anybody up in here that learned you can't put all your faith in God? You can put all your faith in God. I don't care if you got a good husband. You can't put all your faith in him because can't nobody. Do you like Jesus? Slap a sister, say, can't nobody. I don't care how good he make you feel. I don't care how tall he is. I don't care how much money he got. Slap seven women and tell him, can't. I feel something exploding in here. I feel some woman opening up your mouth and giving God the praise sacrifice. God inhabits your praise. If you're a woman that loves God, don't wait till the battle's over, but shout now. Hallelujah. I need some women here that will praise God. I want you to walk to a sister and say, woman, how much are you worth? Do you know you're valuable? Do you know you're fearful and wonderfully made? Do you know God created you in his own image? Slap another woman and say, keep on praising. Is there anybody here? Go praise the Lord. If you don't mind this morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, step in the aisle and touch another woman and say, sister, I'm valuable. Oh, my sister, I'm worth something. Yes, I am. Is there a real woman here? Oh, shucks, I'm feeling that would testify for far too long. You've been trying to please Jacob, but God told me to tell you, if Jacob don't change, if you never get a man, if you never have a child, open up your mouth and send up Judah. Yeah. Oh, shucks. Can I get a witness here? Is there any sister here on a Saturday morning that will praise God until you feel better? Praise God until depression leaves. Praise God until you feel your joy. I need 5,000 women to turn around 3 times. One for the Father, one for the Son, for the Holy Ghost. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel.